And welcome to our Christmas Eve candlelight worship experience. So glad that you're here with us this evening. My name is John, and I am the pastor here at Bridge City Church North Braddock, and we are so glad that you took some time out of your busy holiday season to spend it here with us. And I personally don't think you could have picked a better place to spend about an hour of your evening than right here, not just with a bunch of other people who love God and love you, but really in the presence of the King, the one true reason for the season, Jesus. And I'm just so glad to welcome you here this evening. You know, Christmas has a lot of pomp and circumstance around it, and every Christmas we gather together like this, in a setting similar to this, with candles and lights and festive garb and different things of that nature. And we do it to celebrate the coming of Jesus to earth to rescue mankind from their sin. That's why we do this. We do it to celebrate the reality that the King, the creator of the universe, became not just a human, but a baby. And not just but a baby born in the midst of a scandal. For those of you that aren't aware, his mother Mary, when the angel announced to her that she would be pregnant, as Josiah said, great with child, this was not an exciting announcement. Because Mary wasn't married. And so for her to have been found pregnant outside of wedlock would have been a death sentence to her. Not only that, Joseph, the man that Mary was betrothed to be married, he got a similar visit from an angel who told him, don't worry, everything is going to be okay. And one of the amazing things about Christmas is that with all of the things going on, all of the scrambling, all of the pressure, all of the this and the that, at the end of the day, Christmas is really the story of a tired dad and an overwhelmed mom from a poor family. A family because of the scandal of being pregnant before marriage dismissed them. The line, there was no room for them in the inn, is better translated, there was no room for them in the guest room, because it would have been uncommon in the Jewish culture in that day for them to not let a stranger stay with them. So when we see that Mary and Joseph have to go and stay in a manger in a stable, it tells us more about what their family felt about them than the fact that all the hotels were booked up. But nevertheless, we gather here in this season to celebrate the fact that Jesus came to save us from our sin and to deliver us from the fallen state of life that sin brought into the world. It's an amazing time of hope, peace, joy, and love. It is the Advent season. And it's a time of pageantry. It's a time of awe and wonder and tradition and symbolism. But really, it's a time where the whole world sets aside a moment, at least we should, to acknowledge the dire state of a world that is ultimately separated from God. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring humanity back to our Creator. And so we pause to celebrate this moment. The moment when God broke the silence. I don't know if you've ever been in an argument with somebody that you're close with. You get the silent treatment, or you give the silent treatment. Well, the Bible tells us that for 400 years, God was silent towards his people, Israel. And God, on this day, almost 2,000 years ago, he broke the silence to bridge the gap. He pierced the darkness to cross the divide that sin had created for the sole purpose of bringing his people back to him. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is not about us searching for God. It's about God leaving heaven and searching for us. So what makes this time so important? What about this time makes it so special? I'm sure you have a favorite thing. Maybe it's the tree. In my house, we don't just get a live tree, but we get the biggest live tree that we can find. In the last couple years, we've been going and cutting it down ourselves. Maybe for you, it's the gifts or the time with family and friends. Maybe the thing that makes Christmas special for you is the tradition, the cookies, the candles, the songs. But the thing that really makes Christmas special, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but the thing that really makes Christmas special is that the King of the universe left his throne to enthrone himself in flesh so that through him flesh might one day be enthroned with him in heaven. You know, I don't know about you, but often when I think of what Jesus did, I think of what it would be like to have my phone ring in the middle of the night, which would be awkward because I keep my phone on silent. But imagine, it's the middle of the night, it's cold, it's winter, there's snow, and someone is reaching out to you because against your better instruction, they went out to do something that night that they shouldn't have done, and lo and behold, they got themselves into a situation that they should have never been in, but nevertheless, they find themselves stuck in the snow in the middle of the night, and now they're calling you for help. Now, I want you to imagine that that person calling you for help isn't a family member, isn't a friend. It's not even a person that you know. It's a stranger. Maybe even it's somebody who has treated you poorly in the past. But nevertheless, you're there, phone a friend in the moment of desperate need. And if I'm honest with you, I'm probably not getting out of bed. There are very few things that would make me leave the comfort of my bed to go out into the cold, to go out into the darkness of night, to help somebody who I didn't even know and doesn't even deserve it. But Christmas is the account of the Creator of the universe not leaving a warm and comfy bed, but leaving the perfection and glory of heaven to go out into the night, into the coldness of a fallen world, to not just pull a stranger out of a snowdrift, but to die a death on a cross so that those strangers who rejected him and rebelled against him could have an opportunity to spend eternity with him in the heaven that he left to come and get them. That's why we're here tonight. That's what makes this season, this time, so special. Because the gospel is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's right. When you receive Jesus Christ, when you bring him into your heart, when you accept him as Lord and Savior, the Bible says that not only is he now in you, but you are now in him. And God did so that you, the sinner, could become the righteousness of the righteous one who took your sin. That's the gospel. The wonder of Christmas is God stepping into the human condition through Jesus Christ to seek and to save those who are lost in darkness. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 3 through 4 says it this way, for what the law was powerless to do, you know, all those religious rules that the self-righteous think we should follow. I'm not against rules. I'm just here to tell you that the Bible says those rules were powerless to make you righteous. Actually, the Bible says that those rules are the mirror that shows the reflection of just how unfit you are to meet all the rules. There's no way you can do it. There's no way you can live up to the standard that God has set for people. Because what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, that's right, your sinful desires, your sinful flesh, this body that makes you crave things you shouldn't crave and want things you shouldn't want and do things you shouldn't do or not do the things that you should do, this flesh that each and every one of us were born into, that wonderful law was weakened because of the flesh. But God did something amazing. Because what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. That's why Jesus had to be born. That's why he just couldn't wave a magic wand in heaven and say, poof, be delivered from sin. No. In his righteousness, God had to pay, a price was owed, a ransom was due because of the sin of humanity. And God forces nobody to pay it themselves, but his son willingly came to pay it for us. So that by accepting him through faith, we don't have to go through the penalty of sin. We can live according to the righteous requirement of God's law. There's a common erroneous thought that God sends people to hell. If God is love, then how could a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't. The only person that can send you to hell is you. And that's by willingly rejecting the King of the universe who came, born of a virgin, born in a manger, who lived a sinless life you could not live, to die a death we all deserve, so that by our faith in him, we might have our sin atoned for and become the very righteousness of God. That's what Christmas is all about. Because Jesus got us off the hook. And not only did he get the charges dropped, but he gives us his spirit so that by his spirit we are now able to live a life that is pleasing to God. And I'm here to tell you something. A world that is full of people living lives that are pleasing to God is a world that is more enjoyable and better to live in. And so Jesus coming and saving people wasn't to make bad people good, it was to make dead people alive and living people to share life to those who are dead in their sins so the world could be a better place. Christmas is about Jesus making the world a better place by making us not just better people, but brand new people. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says it this way, since the children, that's us, have flesh and blood, he too, that's Jesus, shared in their humanity. This isn't just a cute story or something that we just sentimentalize and think, oh wow, look at cute baby Jesus. Look at what he did, and then we wait a couple of months, and Easter comes around, and we sentimentalize what Jesus did. No, he did it so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Jesus came to break the power of the devil over your life and over everyone's life, and all we have to do is let him in. All we have to do, like many of us will do on Christmas morning, and go under the tree and open the gift and enjoy it and say thank you. It's the same deal, except the gift we receive from God isn't found under a tree. It was at one point found hanging on a tree for all the world to see, so that all who look upon him and believe in him might be saved. Christmas is about humanity being restored to its rightful place in God's eyes. The Christmas story is the story of God associating himself with us in our lowly human condition so that we might be able to associate ourselves with him in his heavenly condition. So what's our response? Show up to church on Christmas and Easter. That's a good start. I'm not going to hate on it, but I'd be remiss to encourage you to stop there. No, our response should look like the response of the shepherds. In that passage of Luke that some of our Bridge City students read just a moment ago. What did the shepherds do? They took heart to what was said, and they believed in what they heard, and their belief caused them to go and to see what they were told, and then share what they had seen. That's our response. That's our response to the gospel. We take to heart what was said. For some of you, this might be the first time that you're hearing that this is the big deal about Christmas, or this is what the gospel actually is. Elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 5, it says that God is no longer counting men's sins against them. Why? Because when we put our faith in Jesus, he doesn't count our sins, he counts Jesus' righteousness as ours. And so tonight, as we prepare to wrap up our time together, my challenge to you isn't to just come and attend or spectate, but to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't yet taken to heart what you heard. That Christ is born. And he's not a helpless baby in a manger anymore. He is restored to his rightful place at the right hand of the throne of glory in heaven. And as the book of Hebrews tells us, he is right now interceding on behalf of those who have put their faith in him. And I believe that he is even interceding on behalf of those of you, maybe even under the sound of my voice, who have yet to put your faith in him by first taking to heart what you have heard. Maybe you've heard, but you've never believed. In a moment, we're going to give everyone here an opportunity to respond to Jesus by putting your faith and your trust in him as Lord and Savior alone. But maybe you're here, you've taken to heart, you've heard, but you've never seen. Church, Christianity, it's just been something you do, but not something you experience. Well, I'd encourage you to stick around for a little while, so that you can see God move in ways that are indescribable and confirm what you've heard. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've taken to heart and you've believed and you've seen, but you've never yet shared what you've seen and experienced. Well, here in a moment, as the worship team comes and as our ushers get ready, we are going to light our candles. So, ushers, you can come forward. One of my favorite things about these services isn't just the vibe of a room lit only by the candles of people while praises are sung to God. That's nice. It's wonderful. But the thing that I love so much about a candlelight service is this. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Isaiah chapter 9 says it this way. There were those who wandered in darkness, but now they've seen a great light. And I can testify to you here tonight that I was that one wandering in deep darkness. Not just because I was addicted to drugs or caught up in all kind of sin and perversity. Not just because I have a felony criminal arrest record. No, I was wandering in deep darkness because I grew up in a rough place. And I grew up without a dad. And I had no confidence. I had no self-esteem. I was depressed. I didn't think anybody could see. I didn't think anybody knew what was going on in my life, and I certainly didn't believe that anyone cared. But the moment I met Jesus in a jail cell in November of 1998, this one who wandered in darkness had seen a great light. And something changed in that moment. I was radically and fundamentally changed from who I was born as to being born again to what God always intended me to be, a righteous son of God. And the amazing thing is this, my life around me didn't instantly change. I was still in jail. I still struggled with things internally and externally. And even though nobody else may have seen or known or cared, it did not matter anymore because I had seen a great light and I knew that now God knew and God saw and God cared, and that's all that mattered. And so as we prepare to light our candles, we've heard and taken to heart. I pray that you have believed. And if you hadn't, we will give an opportunity for that to happen before you leave tonight. I pray that what you see isn't just an amazing room lit by candles, but you see the very power of God, that you experience His nearness, that you experience His closeness, that you have an encounter with God that is undeniably you and your Father connecting on a level that you were always designed to connect. But the reason we light the candles is to remind us that this light isn't supposed to stay with us. It's something to be shared. And so I'm going to have the ushers come forward. And in the same way Jesus brought light to us, I'm going to bring light to their candles. And they're not going to keep the light to themselves. They're going to share it with others. And they're going to come amongst you, and they're going to come up these aisles, and the person at the end of each aisle, you're going to receive the light. But then it's your job to share the light with the person next to you. Because it's not enough to take to heart and believe and see. We also must share. That's what the shepherds did. And so, as our ushers light our candle, the little ones, they should have little glow stick candles in their bag. We don't want any danger, but just an amazing moment. And so if you've got a little one, you got a bag, get that glow stick out, break it. Jesus was broken so the light could be shown in the world. And as the ushers come, receive the light from them and share it with the person next to you as our worship team leads us in a song.